Susan Spencer, CBS News in Montreal.
The epidemic of HIV infection is out of control. It's out of control in the United States. It's out of control in the world.
The HIV/AIDS situation in the decade of the 1990s will be more serious and perhaps much more serious than that which we have experienced during the 1980s.
Like every one of you, I don't want to die. At least, not now.
Judy Muller and I look at the numbers and the issues of the 5th International AIDS Conference in Montreal. The numbers were staggering. Over 11,000 researchers, 900 journalists, 6,000 presentations, all in one place for 1 week, the 5th International Conference on AIDS. The numbers coming out of this conference are staggering, too. Dr. Jonathan Mann of the World Health Organization.
During the 1990s, approximately 9 times more cases of AIDS may occur than occurred during the 1980s. About half of the people developing AIDS during the 1990s were infected with HIV during the 1980s. Again, over one-third of the AIDS cases resulting from new infections in the 1990s were considered preventable through global and national efforts.
Dr. Mann explains these figures another way.
The number of people with AIDS is rising sharply. From about 70,000 from 1980 through 1985 to about 300,000 people developing AIDS from 1986 through 1988 to an estimated 700,000 people developing AIDS in the three-year period 1989 to 1991. Thus, the cumulative total of AIDS is expected to double from today to the end of 1991 to over 1.1 million.
The World Health Organization also estimates that there are now between 5 and 10 million people infected with HIV around the world, with perhaps only 10% even knowing it. Dr. William Hendy of the American Medical Association.
The epidemic of HIV infection is out of control. It's out of control in the United States. It's out of control in the world.
The number of people who unknowingly carry the AIDS virus is even more distressing if you consider it in light of new medical advances. Clinical trials using AZT have shown that early use in people positive for the virus appears to delay the onset of the symptoms of AIDS. But if interventional care is most effective when implemented early, this will require the periodic testing and evaluation of people infected but who have no symptoms. Dr. Hendy.
Think what this means. Immediately, the patient population expands dramatically from persons experiencing clinical symptoms of HIV disease to the entire population of persons infected with the virus. Today, it is the 1.5 million persons in the United States and the 5 to 10 million persons worldwide who are HIV positive who now become the patient population. If only we could identify them.
All of this raises the question of money.
Who is going to provide the testing, the monitoring, the evaluation, and the interventional health care that all these people will need? And where is it going to be provided? And who is going to provide all the counseling needed by these patients and their loved ones? And who is going to pay for all this?
It's clear that to stop the transmission of AIDS, much more than medical technology is needed. And there was much focus at the 5th International Conference on educational campaigns aimed at stopping high-risk behavior. There were protesters and activists shouting their demands and concerns. Some scientists felt that there was too much shouting, too much talk about social issues, not enough scientific discussion. Still, there was a sense of progress on the medical front. Polio vaccine pioneer Jonas Salk reported some interesting results on a post-exposure AIDS vaccine. Salk injected it into 3 chimpanzees, 2 with the AIDS virus, the 3rd without. The chimps with the infection lost all signs of the virus for over a year, while the uninfected chimp, though, exposed to the same vaccine, showed signs of infection over the same period of time. So what does this suggest? Dr. Jonas Salk.
It suggests that it may be possible to vaccinate against infection and also to perhaps, if not against infection, against the development of disease, because the infection could then be of shorter duration.
Leading researcher Dr. Danny Bolognesi of Duke University says the results are inconclusive.
The number of animals are low. The degree of protection is incomplete. It doesn't happen in all of the animals. But as I tried to tell you this morning, they are beginnings of progress that we did not have a year ago.
Further confusing the picture is the fact that Dr. Salk's experimental vaccine hasn't had success in humans yet. Dr. Bolognesi.
Why is there no evidence in man that this vaccine is clearing the infection, whereas there is evidence in the chimpanzee? I don't know. I wonder that myself. And again, I would, at this point, talk about this as a preliminary result that needs to be solidified.
But it's early days yet. Also on the hopeful signs front, the FDA approval expected soon for aerosol pentamidine, a drug proven effective in fighting AIDS-related pneumonia. But even that good news raised questions from AIDS activists as to who could get it and how it would be paid for. All the scientific information at this conference ran into such issues and broader questions. How does basic science relate to society, to ethics and law? Ethicist David Roy.
It seems that the message is, as the virus has become endemic in the human population, the problems associated with HIV disease and with AIDS have metastasized, if I could use that language, into all of the organs of society. And so it shouldn't be surprising if in coming conferences we find increasing emphasis and spotlight upon the social, psychological, familial, international, relational, ethical, legal aspects of this disease.
The clear message from the Fifth International AIDS Conference, a sobering one. The number of HIV-infected people in the world is growing and growing fast. And while there's much hope in basic science, there is still an enormous struggle ahead. I'm Susan Spencer, CBS News, Montreal. Newsmark continues with a look at the ethics of AIDS.
I'm Judy Muller, CBS News. How should people with AIDS be treated? That's a question the Fifth International AIDS Conference grappled with this past week in Montreal. The answer? With respect, dignity, and compassion. But there is prejudice towards people who test seropositive for HIV antibodies. So says Ron Kelly, a student who himself has tested seropositive.
The first thing we have to do is admit that discrimination really takes place. Discrimination is not in the minds of people with AIDS. It's real.
Very real for Ron Kelly.
I've lost a lot of my self-respect, which I'm starting to get back. I've lost a lot of my friends. And I've experienced firsthand what it's like to have people treat me like dirt because I carry the virus which is believed to cause AIDS.
There is the sense of shame that many people feel with AIDS, a sense of shame Ron Kelly wants to fight.
There is no shame in having the AIDS virus. There is no shame in having HIV infection. And that's a message that as doctors, as scientists, as educators, as teachers, we must take, not only to the people of Canada, but the people across the world.
Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, president of Zambia, also wants to fight that sense of shame and stigma attached to AIDS.
We have to remove the social stigma from AIDS. We have to convince with kindness and generosity of heart both the sufferer and the community that AIDS is a disease.
In 1986, Kaunda's son died of AIDS.
It is such a tragic event in our family that the best way we would wish to mourn this boy is by fighting AIDS.
It is a fight, says Kaunda, that we need to win.
If you, our scientists, fail to find a cure in a good time, the AIDS epidemic will develop upon our population into a soft nuclear bomb on human life. Silent, no explosion, but just as devastating on the destruction of the human body.
But science and medicine face their own ethical difficulties. Problems such as double-blind clinical tests, where neither doctor nor patient knows who is receiving medication or a placebo.
Like every one of you, I don't want to die. At least, not now.
Claude LeBlanc is a man in his 30s with AIDS.
And I don't want to suffer either unusefully.
Like many others with AIDS, LeBlanc joined a clinical trial in the hope new drugs could prolong his life. He was made to feel like a human guinea pig and not a patient.
What really upset me was that every time I went to see the physician, he never took notes, pretending he had a good memory and said he will write them in my file later. And he never examined me.
Quality of life is an important issue for people with AIDS,
especially for the children. Barbara Chamness already has 3 grown children, but now she's a foster mother for 3 more children, 2 with AIDS. We spoke with her about how she will cope with the grief that loving these children is sure to bring.
Somehow, we've got to learn to care for our human family. One of the things about this conference, I spent my facelift money to go to Stockholm last year because I wanted to hear of a medical cure. But one of the things I've discovered is that our advances in science and medicine have outstripped our advances in our ability to really compassionately care for each other. And that's what I want us to do with these children.
What is John's life expectancy at this point, and how is his health?
If we believe statistics, John has a 90% chance of being dead before the age of 3, 95% chance before the age of 5. He has had pneumocystis twice. He has large swollen lymph nodes, but now he's doing well. And, of course, we think that we're going to beat the odds. I'm hoping for a cure.
There is a hopeful aspect to controlling the AIDS epidemic besides medical research, behavioral change. June Osborne, dean of the University of Michigan, explains.
In a world full of fearsome things, HIV should not be high on the list, for risk behavior can be avoided. That is the one bit of truly good news in this awful epidemic, and we should pause to celebrate it.
The question of how to treat people with AIDS on a medical basis and a personal basis is a complicated one. But, as Osborne says, if we collect what we have learned and find out how to mobilize it, the net gain for our human communities will reach far beyond the conquest of AIDS. I'm Judy Muller, CBS News, Montreal.